This recording, Alabama 4, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Sarah was a nurse who had been working in the newest area of the territory. She was very happy to start another new job, this time in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. On her first morning, she washed her face, put on a plain white dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the bird. The goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her. But Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to her. Her efforts were not fruitful. Very soon, Comma began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath, washed her, and laid her on a cloth for diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. The treatment was very expensive, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. My dad preached to us about the importance of school. In plenty of days, I didn't want to go because I didn't have things like the other kids had. Everything was homemade, which my mother was a seamstress. She made everything we wore with the exception of shoes. You had two pair of shoes, one for church, one for school. Then the minute you got home, you changed that set of clothing and your shoes, and you went to work. After all that working and getting the kids fed, you do your dishes, and you had two lamps, kerosene lamps. We would clear the big table in the kitchen, and everybody sat around and got their homework there. And this was an everyday thing. And I was kind of slow when it came to math, but I had a brother that was a whiz. We would do all of his English and help him, and he would help us with the math. He wanted to fix the math just on paper, and you take it to school and turn it in. But when you ask questions, why this is here to that power, especially in algebra, he'd call you dumb, and then that would start a big fight. And then the mother would break up the game of marbles from outside, which he was eager to go and play. So this went on. Finally, when it got to high school, that was really hard because you had to have money for this and money for that, and which we did not have. It took you for months to save up for a class ring, you know, but we did it. So everybody got eager to leave because this was before integration. And the older you got, the more you were picked on going through town and passing through the white neighborhood. So we had to change our route going back and forth to school.